This is from Devarim. The words are from Moshe, known as Moses. It is the concluding book of the Torah, which is teaching. And here is the instruction, the guidance. There should not be found among you, even one, causing his son or daughter to participate in magic or fortune-telling, consulting with dead spirits. I should stop here and say that those who knew Pope Francis best at the time that Gergoglio was in his isolation and Jesuit prison confinement in his red and deadly room, said that he prayed like a saint. Calling on dead spirits for support, praying to saints, praying like a saint, is what this admonition from God is all about. There should not be found one among you who beguiles by summoning such spirits. He would always pray facing the statue of what he called Saint Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuit order. There should not be one among you who causes the premature death of others by way of destructive worship of heathen deities. All of the trinity of Roman Catholicism are heathen deities. All who do these things are an abomination, hated and detested by Yahweh. I would tell you, Kirk, without equivocation, that the man whom God hates the most today, of all humans, the one that he would say, I am most disgusted by this individual, is the one being celebrated by 1.5 Roman Catholics as their holy father. They've chosen him over God.
Sure they have. You talk to a Catholic about this, they just throw rocks at you.
Yeah, exactly. They would absolutely throw rocks at you, but yet it is so obvious. Just read the man's past. Just read Yahweh's statements. He's the living embodiment of everything God said he detests. By the way, we've talked a lot on this program about our problem isn't that we hate. It's that we don't hate enough.
Right.
What did God say here? Is he loving of all people, including those who are leading others astray, like through the means of Roman Catholicism, or do you say he hates them?
Well, he hates them. He's always hated certain people. He wiped out the world one time to save Noah.
You're right.
I mean, that ain't an act of love.
You know, I've tried, for the most part, with a few exceptions, to direct my disdain at religion and politics and militarism and human institutions, human doctrines. And they're worthy of condemnation. And for the most part, that is where I have directed my attention, as exposing and condemning Islam. Now, surely based upon Muhammad being a pervert, but Islam based upon the Islamic scriptures, Christianity based upon the Christian New Testament, Judaism based upon the Talmud. And yet, that is not what God is saying here. He's telling you that the ways of the Gentiles, that these disgusting religious practices are repulsive to him. But he's saying that those who engage in these things, those who promote these things, are an abomination to him. It's not just the practice. He's the practitioner.
Oh, yeah. It's very personal right here.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, he's the same guy that said plague of death to Paul.
Multiple times, over and over and over again. Told us so many times through the prophets, calling him out by name, Shaul, saying he's the plague of death. Now, this is also interesting. You're going to hear this in Jeremiah. This demon-possessed pope Bergoglio, Pope Francis, ultimately cited Jeremiah, identified himself with Jeremiah. Yeah, the stretch. Now, here's what Yahweh had to say through Jeremiah. Hear the word which Yahweh proclaims. He didn't say, hear the word which I proclaim. He didn't say, hear the word which the vicar of Christ proclaims. He didn't say, hear the word that the church proclaims. He didn't say, hear the word that the Pope proclaims before Congress. He said, hear the word which Yahweh proclaims.
Yahweh proclaimed. Didn't even say Jesus, did he?
No, which Yahweh proclaims. To you, old household of Yisrael, meaning those who engage and endure with God, Yahweh says, do not conduct your life in the ways of the Goyim nations. Is the Roman Catholic Church a celebration of all things Goyim? All things distinct from Judaism?
There's never been a more perfect example of it.
As a matter of fact, Roman Catholicism in Imperial Rome emerged out of the Hadrian's great animosity for all things Israel.
Israel, yeah.
Yeah. He burned, he would soak the Torah in water and then set people ablaze with the Torah wrapped around them so that the Torah would slow their agony. He renamed Jerusalem after himself. After Rome had destroyed the Yahweh's home there on the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah, he erected a temple to himself.
Right on the temple.
Rather than lifting Jews up, well, he did lift them up, crucify them by the tens of thousands. And it was out of this overt hatred of all things Rome. When Constantine, for example, had his Edict of Milan, all religions became lawful. Except Judaism. And Theodosius just perpetuated that some 60 years later. And he established Christianity. All you got to do is read Cassius Dio, the foremost apologist for Roman Catholicism at the time. And his awesome rhetoric. I mean, awesome rhetoric against Jews. That's why when I did Louis Free's show, who's Jewish, the other day, he said, you know, when he grew up, the Roman Catholic kids in his neighborhood would scream at him and say, you know, you killed Jesus. Our parents tell us that that Satan leads little boys, little Jewish boys, to their demise. This is Roman Catholicism. It's the antithesis of all things Israel. It is, for example, not the Jerusalem Catholic Church. It's the Roman Catholic Church, the very beast that Yahweh said was the most menacing of all of human history.
So why can't anyone see that?
Do not walk in the ways of the Gentile nations. The Trinity is a Gentile concept. It was formed first in Babylon, but it was promoted by every pagan religion thereafter. Father, Son, and Mother Earth, or Mother, the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of God, as we find it in Roman Catholicism. And all the deities of all of the pagan Gentile nations were always with that Trinity. Their God always died and was resurrected. They celebrated Easter and Christmas. They worshipped on Sunday because their God was represented by the sun. They had holy water. They had priests. All of it.
Yeah.
From holidays to the actual doctrine itself. Even the names of the deities, from church to grace to the Lord. All pagan. Do not walk in the ways of the Gentile nations. What did the Gentile nations, what did God call the most demonic of all Gentile nations?
I'm assuming we're talking about the Romans again.
No, the most pagan of all Gentile nations,
Babylon.
The most demonic, the most representative of Satan. In fact, he said that Satan is the leader of Babylon.
Babylon.
Babel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Babel means with the Lord.
With the Lord, yeah.
You know of a religion today that has embraced with the Lord, Babel, and has their holy scriptures are called Babel?
Every division of Christianity.
Yeah, with their Bible. Indeed. Hear the word which Yahweh proclaims to you, old household of Israel. Yahweh says, do not engage, do not walk in the ways of the Gentile nations and the pagans and the heathens. Do not teach the signs or symbols from the sky. And yet, what is the halo in Christianity?
Well, everything is there. Half the time there are halos made out of stars.
Yeah. Well, but mostly, sometimes stars. But they're mostly just sunbursts. They're circles and sunbursts, huh?
Everything's sun.
Right. Everything is, right. In fact, if you look at a Catholic church, you will see, like, the statue of St. Ignatius, that the founder of the Jesuit order, that Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, bowed down to pray. His statue, sun rays, sunburst, just like the Statue of Liberty,
mm-hmm.
emanating out of his crown. Yeah, that's what these guys are all about. Symbols from the sky. For the Gentiles are confused and destroyed by them. What's the Hebrew word for confusion?
Babel.
Same basis as Bible.
Confused
and destroyed by them. For the customs and traditions of the foreign nations are delusional. Delusional. God doesn't say, oh, but, you know, it doesn't matter what you think, what you say, what you do. It's always this, the nature of your heart. No, God says no. The ways of the Bible, the ways of the Trinity, the ways of the Lord, the ways of religion, the ways of cultures, of nations, they're delusional and thus deadly. Now he's going to speak about one of those delusions. It happens to be the Christmas tree and then the Christmas cross in just a moment. Wow. This man is scum. Congressional lawmakers are being reminded to stay on their best behavior when Pope Francis addresses a joint meeting of Congress on Thursday. And most importantly, to refrain from touching His Holiness. Handshakes are forbidden. Conversations with Pope Francis, absolutely forbidden. Both parties are putting Catholics in the aisles to make sure that lawmakers do not try to break the rules anyway. They're assigned to sit. They cannot touch his clothing. They can't rush up to kiss his ring. They can't snag a photo op. Wow.
Well, I think if then they do the same thing, tell the same thing for people who met the Japanese emperor, because he's a god, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same thing is true with the all of the Caesars would make the same claim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to kiss his ring, so don't bother me.
Oh, man, I might throw up in his presence. Oh, my God.
I'd have a few words to say to him.
The ego of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The misdirected homage to this demon-possessed man. Satan has just got to be giggling. Here he's walking into the most hallowed shrine in America. And he's walking in as if he were God. Don't touch me. Wow. No handshakes. You know, when you're greeted by Yahweh and brought into the covenant, isn't it a handshake with God? Isn't he reaching down and out and reaching up to him?
With an open palm, absolutely.
Man, if you don't grasp his hand, you aren't part of his family.
No.
And what's the first thing once you get into the covenant that you're you feel motivated to do? Isn't it to reach out to others?
Sure.
But not this man. We have Glenn on the line. This is just repulsive. I am absolutely, completely, and totally disgusted when it comes to the way my country is behaving in this regard. How about you, Glenn?
Well, I live just a few miles north of the city where he'll be this weekend. So all of our major road arteries are going to be shut down as of Friday. You know, it's ridiculous.
You think you'll be celebrating Yom Kippurim?
I don't think so.
No. Tomorrow night, right? Yom Kippurim. Yeah, what do you think the likelihood is that he's going to have an address on the importance to answer Yahweh's invitation to attend Yom Kippurim? What did Yahweh say about those who ignore his invitation on Yom Kippurim? They die, separated from him. Do you think the Pope will mention it? Don't think so.
He's like,
no, as a matter of fact, he's having his big presentation on Thursday. Because, you know, you wouldn't want to...
He's coming here to Philly for the, some international meeting about the destruction of the family or something. They want, you know, some kind of UN agenda thing on the family, which basically probably means to destroy the traditional nuclear family anyway, but... he doesn't need Yom Kippur. He's too busy transubstantiating bread and wine into flesh and blood, you know, so that's...
Oh, but he had the whole spiritual exercises to exile the flesh. So he's already wholly Gnostic and Pauline. After all, the Jesuits, which consider themselves spiritual and enlightened.
And Jesuits aren't even supposed to be popes, and... he thinks capitalism is the dung of the devil.
Yes, he does. It's because of his libertarian theology as he grew up, which he for a while renounced so that he would not be mistreated by the military junta. But now that it's convenient for him to proclaim it again, his communism is back out of the closet.
I don't know, it's just bizarre. A crypto-Muslim president is going to be able to, you know,
right.
meet the Pope at...
Yeah, a communist crypto-Muslim president, is going to be there with a crypto-communist Pope. Both advocating the embrace of Islam. Wow.
Well, that's all right. I was just looking at a website. There are people who think there's going to be probably like a nuclear attack in Philadelphia. You know. And there is,
and it's spiritual.
Yeah.
The very demons of hell are all being unleashed on the city of brotherly love. All ushered in by the devil's primary advocate on earth. Pope Francis Bergoglio. Well, I'm glad I'm nowhere near that place. Duck, my friend. So when Yahweh was talking about religions being delusional through Yirmiyah, the first example he gets is the center of the Christian religious celebration of Christmas. He says, they cut down trees from the forest, the work of their hands with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it down so that it will not totter. Their trees are like finely decorated cultic objects. They can't speak. They can't walk. They must be carried. Don't revere them. Indeed, from them there is nothing beneficial. It's the Christmas tree. Yirmiyah then says, there is none like you, Yahweh. You're powerful. You're great. Your personal and proper name is mighty. Who wouldn't revere you? Indeed, it's your due. For in all of the wise men and Gentile nations, and in all of their empires and their governments, there is none like you. They are altogether stupid. Unreceptive and foolish. lacking understanding, and their doctrines and teachings of delusional idols made of decorated wood.
You know, I read that in high school.
You did?
And I kept going around saying, why don't we put up Christmas trees?
Yeah. Are all of their delusional teachings made of decorated wood? What was the statue of that this Pope was bowing to, Saint Ignatius?
The cross.
Painted wood. Yeah, but the crucifix that was painted in the, yeah, it's put your God on a stick and hold him up. You know what's that, the ventriloquist that has the jalapeno on a stick? You know, they've got God on a stick. You know, the big symbol of Catholicism.
You will not be invited after that.
Here is God on a stick. The jalapeno on a stick. And just like the ventriloquist, they talk for him. They tell you what the God on a stick has to say. Yes. In fact, we're going to do the sign of the God on the stick. Then we're going to bow down to the God on the stick.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you know, it's exactly what God's got to be saying of this moron, his holiness, who can't be touched. You know, there's going to be a lot of touching with that buffoon in eternity. I'll tell you that. He's going to be right up there close and personal with the very demon that possessed him so many years ago. God on a stick, Roman Catholicism, Christianity, the God on a stick.
You know, yeah, I think it's interesting that all this papal foolishness is occurring, you know, right around the time of Yom Kippur and all of these predictions. There are a great many people who have been really watching September 23rd and several subsequent days this week for cataclysm. And I'm always reminded of this idea of, like, the metaphor of when you sell a car or a house, how you highball the price. You put the price higher than what you actually expect to get to allow room for negotiation. And sometimes I wonder if this all this cataclysmic stuff isn't sort of the highballing of things such that...
Oh, I think we just lost Glenn, and I'm sorry, Glenn. We didn't cut you off. That was your telephone. You know, it's interesting that there are so many predictions of cataclysm on the Day of Reconciliations. Why do you think God would choose the day to reconcile his relationship with Yahudah and Yisrael in opposition to these Gentile religious and political schemes on the Day of Reconciliation? Why on reconciliation would there be divine punishment?
Well, that's the demarcation. I mean, it's the last call.
Wow.
You come to me or you don't get it or there's no other option.
Yeah, but, you know, God is not in the business of perpetrating affliction on this day.
No, but we just by that time, we would have almost destroyed ourselves completely.
Oh, of course. You know, while his return as light is going to put an end to a lot of souls on this day, it's not because God is doing anything to harm them.
But they're not covered.
They're not covered. They'll be obliterated by the fact that they've fallen in love with. They put their faith in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that this Pope appears so holy to Roman Catholics. Because the God of Christianity is the Lord, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The God of Paul. The same God. That's the reason this man appeals to them. He looks just like their God. It's the reason the Torahless one is going to appeal to Christians. He's going to be just like their wannabe God.
And they will cling to anti-Torah to the end.
Right. In fact, they will continue to be, what's the word Yahweh used? Stupid.
Ba'ar.
Stupid. Ba'ar. Unreceptive, brutish, barbarian, senseless, violent, and destructive. And so that you don't have any chance of misinterpreting what he says, they're not only altogether stupid, but they're kasal.
Yeah, they're foolish. Foolish.
Foolish. And while he says that stupid is unreceptive, it means to be brutish, barbarian, senseless, and violent and destructive is Ba'ar. Altogether stupid.
Right.
Foolish is completely lacks understanding.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
Yeah. So the stupid is because you're unwilling to be observant. You don't pay any attention to what God has to say, and instead, garbage in, garbage out, you're ingesting the delusion of Gentile politics, of Gentile religion, of all things Babel. That's why you're so stupid. But you're foolish because you've given up even the desire to exercise good judgment, to be accountable. So you're foolish.
When he says teaching, you know, and their doctrines and teachings are delusional, the teaching, Musar, and when that's written in the accusative,
mm-hmm.
isn't that an attack as well? I mean,
yes.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not any teaching. It's negative teaching, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, their teaching is, he said, and do not teach. Don't become accustomed to. Don't be trained in. The signs and symbols from the sky, where the Gentiles are confused and destroyed by them. These are the traditions. This is the culture of these Gentile nations, of estranged people. They are delusional.
You know, it's interesting you would say culture after that article in New York Times, which I was going to talk to you about yesterday, was same thing. They said they told them, The upper management of the military officers mm-hmm. told them that this is their culture, leave them alone.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the most telling line. That is their culture.
Now, you know that's their culture, why are you there helping them?
Yeah, you know what's amazing is that
I don't get it.
Is that those who went in to fight. Now he's talking about the Bacha Bazi, the boy play in Afghanistan that is rife in the culture, is rife with an Islam. This is Muslims being pedophiles and in acts of homosexual sodomy. And literally enslaving little boys, chaining them to beds, and then and having many of them in a room and gang raping them for weeks on end, and then threatening them if they ever say a word to anyone. And the Americans are absolutely aware that this is occurring all the time by the very people that they're promoting, that they're empowering, that they're arming, that they're enriching. When we replaced a ruthless Islamic regime with a vastly more perverted and ruthless group of Muslims. And the military knows it. And they won't even let you talk about it. They've lost their moral compass. The higher-ups in the U.S. military will drum anyone out of the service who even brings this to anyone's attention. There was one guy who when he confronted a woman, brought in her son who had just been beaten to a pulp, had been gang raped by this commander that the U.S. had empowered, and the woman who had been beaten to a pulp by the same American empowered individual, this Abdul Rahman was his name. And she went to complain to free her son from being chained to a bed and sodomized, and they beat the pulp out of her. So she brought her son, and she came to a captain, a Marine captain,
mm-hmm.
and said, "This is what Abdul Rahman has done to me and to my son. And he's done so on your base, in your presence. You brought this on us." And the and so this captain, still having a conscience, went out and met with the man. He said, "Did you do this?" He said, "Yeah, I did it. So what?"
Yeah.
"It's okay in Islam. I did it. So what?" And so the captain smacked him. I mean, there are some times where, as we talk on our program, where violence is appropriate. That's one of the times. I wouldn't restrain myself, too. You've seen a woman this man has beaten. You've seen a boy that he sodomized.
Yeah.
I'd smack him. And the captain, for doing that and confronting this man that America had had empowered, had armed, had enriched, is that he lost his commission and he was drummed out of the military in shame because he had a conscience. something that was not tolerated in the U.S. military.
And one that spoke up, that heard the screams in another case, and he's found, although you can't prove it, he was killed shortly after that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, by the man perpetrating the crimes and the boys that he threatened, mm-hmm. that he was abusing.
And he's in power today, that guy.
Yes, he is.
Even higher up.
Yes.
Who?
Empowered by the Americans.
Yeah,
by our military.
Who are we?
Who? Well, I know what we are.
What are we? I know what are
we're
we?
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
God bless America.
Let's
give more money. Everybody on the dais the other night on the debates wants to give more money to the friggin' army.
Every single one of them. And this is the very military that's aiding and abetting pedophilia, that's aiding and abetting the sodomizing, the rape of young boys chained to beds. And this is not infrequent. This goes on by the tens of thousands across Afghanistan, all being supported by, encouraged by the American military. Empowered by the American military. The military of torture and of pedophilia. That I will investigate and be judgmental of all of the Gentiles. Destroying those who have come out against the Most High's Jerusalem. It wasn't long ago that Gergoglio, Pope Francis, was meeting with the Muslims in throughout the confines of Jerusalem and the West Bank, and was encouraging them to take what was not theirs, came out against the Most High's Jerusalem in favor of the Muslims.
Well, you would think that, I mean, they have a lot in common. I mean,
no wonder.
They have a ton in common. You're talking about the raping of little boys. That doesn't exclude the Catholic Church.
No, it sure doesn't. It sure doesn't. We've spent a lot of programs devoted to exposing and condemning Roman Catholicism's grievous acts of pedophilia, and worse than their pedophilia, them covering up pedophilia so that more boys are molested over time. In fact, I think on this issue we have Chris having called in from Las Vegas. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, good morning, and thank you for such an intriguing discussion.
You're welcome. You had a point on child abuse, on pedophilia in the Muslim world?
Well, I do, and it's unfortunate, but we have a common saying here in America that if one lays down with dogs, they get up with fleas. But I think it has a much older derivation and perhaps originally was when one lays down with a camel, they get
mm-hmm.
up with fleas.
Right.
And unfortunately, the chickens have come home to roost here in America as our military men are discharged and brought back to America after being induced or seduced and partaking of some of these demonic
mm-hmm.
proclivities
mm-hmm.
of rape, rob, pillage, plunder.
Right, taking place in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we become up close and personal with the demonic nature, the destructive nature, the disgusting nature of Islam. And yet they were sent over there to serve those people, and they're saying, what on earth are we doing? And so they're coming back home. But they're affected, aren't they?
They are very much so, but there is a very deep embedded infestation of these same demoniacs within American law enforcement, clergy, and academia, and other areas, of course.
Yeah, and Chris, I think that while the Roman Catholic Church has taken pedophilia to an art form, and while sexual abuse in America's military is rife, and sexual abuse on America's academic campuses is rife, there's a whole series of articles just released on those things. The one difference is that in the world of Islam, the systematic kidnapping, enslavement, and sexual abuse of little boys is perpetrated by the leaders of that society and is condoned. In America, when we do find out about it, at least there are enough people with a conscience that we are horrified by it and condemn it. So there is a significant difference. So I will agree that pedophilia and rape and the abuse of women and children is rife in America's institutions.
Well, and it's covered up here by the media, just like it is over there. They keep the lid on these debaucheries, these perverse activities, including murder in many cases.
Yeah, it's true.
To keep the Americans dumbed down and not aware of what's going on.
Yeah, the U.S. military has made it the most serious of breaches. With the highest possible punishment for anyone who discloses what's happening in Afghanistan in terms of the people we've empowered and enriched, feasting on the flesh of young boys. And you know, when that kind of a culture exists, you're dealing with the same culture of the Roman Catholic Church, where they made it the greatest crime not to commit pedophilia, but to expose the fact that priests are not only doing it, but there's a cover-up in the church. It's the same exact mentality. And it's rife in our military and in our academic institutions.
Well, the particular military segment that has inducted or inculcated this evil concept is the 10th Psychological Operations Group.
Yeah, they have.
And that goes back to Stubblebine, Vallely, McInerney, and Riley, and those guys.
Yeah, and we should never, ever lose sight of the fact that our military is evil. I mean, we now engage in torture. We've lost our soul.
I would only qualify that there are good men and women in the military, although there are many who have taken the dark path. But really, this emanates from the ancient Pharisee, Sumer, and Babylonian cults.
It does.
And some of their demonic gods.
It does. We have swallowed the poison wholesale, and we've become a very corrupt people.
We are Babylon today.
Yeah. Although we are not alone, the world of Islam, the world of socialist secular humanism, and the higher ups of Christianity and academia have all swallowed the poisonous pill.